The school nursing program in Palm Beach County is a little unusual in that we have a nurse in every school. We partner with the school district, and the school district has 170,000 students. And so the role of the school nurse in the school setting, of course, is to support the academic education of the students and to make sure that they're healthy, well, and they're ready to learn. So that's one of the main priorities. And of course, if your child's not well and healthy, then, and they're not in the classroom, then they're really at disadvantage. Since 1997, the Healthcare District, which is a standalone taxing district in South Florida, has provided funding with some collaborative partners for a nurse in every school. And so we're pretty rich in terms of school nursing services and very fortunate, and the families are very fortunate to have the services. In fact, I would say that they move into the county because we have nurses in school so that the children can have their acute health conditions managed by a registered nurse. The NASN recommends a 1-750 nurse student ratio, and we have one in about 779. We have some very large high schools with 3,000 students, and we have small elementary schools with 300 to 600 students. Given that we always have a minimum of one nurse and then either 1.75 or two full-time equivalent nurses in the health rooms. And because the program has been in existence since 1997, we invest a lot in training, so they're very, very skilled. We're the 11th largest school district in the nation. We were the 8th, but of course Florida lost a lot of students because of the economy. People moved out to the state. So nursing services are available for students assigned to alternative school programs also, not just the regular schools. We have a lot of students with dependent social, emotional conditions, and certainly a lot of students with a challenge. And so we have one school in particular where we have a full nurse that's dedicated every single day to provide medication for children that have behavioral and mental health conditions. Also, we have schools where children are moved from the regular school, middle school students and high school students that are pregnant, and the school district wants them to be in a center where they can learn to take care of the baby. And so you get the idea if you're involved in school health at all, you'll see that schools manage a plethora of health conditions and certainly manage and assist parents to manage the health conditions for the students. Of course, we know that NASN is the premier organization in terms of school nursing in the United States, and of course it's a specialized practice in nursing. And so nurses really help to keep a student well in school to facilitate that positive response to ill health. We manage students with a lot of high-risk conditions, diabetics. We have a lot of type 1 diabetics, type 2 diabetics, students with seizure disorders. You can imagine what the general population is, sickle cell disease, lots of acute and chronic conditions, and so nurses are challenged every single day. We have an electronic student record, and the electronic student record enables the nurse to have a composite health data on students. So even if they leave the district and come back, we still have their record, and we've had that record now for, this is our 13th year that we've had a composite electronic record, which really helps the nurse. I've told you about the 169 schools. And I've told you about the 2,000 to 3,000 students that have two nurses, but Dr. Uwara is our leadership, is our medical director. I have two assistant administrators, a business person and a nursing administrator. We have 10 nursing supervisors. We're a very large county, so you can't manage a big program unless you have structure. And you also have policies and procedures, and make sure that not only are the nurses providing adequate nursing services, but the students are getting the care that they deserve. And so we have a clinical nurse leader as well, and we have a nurse educator. We have vision and hearing specialists that provide vision and hearing for the student population. Training the nurses has been a real pleasure, but it's been a challenge as well, because how do you say train nurses to make sure that they can manage everything every day? You can't, but what you do is you do the best you can in terms of providing them with skills and abilities to provide emergency services without oxygen and without intubation and so on. So they have ITLS training, which is what our firefighter paramedics have. So when they come into the school, they're thinking along the same lines. However, we don't do intubation, and we don't give IV meds, but the nurses are trained, and we actually use simulation for doing that. And we're very fortunate to have a simulation center to do that. And then, of course, we have a disaster preparedness plan, and really this is what this conversation is all about, in terms of being prepared for disasters and being prepared for pandemic flu, which is really why we're here today. We have a County Healthcare Emergency Coalition that I've been a member of for about 7 years now, and it's extremely useful. It brings together the whole team in case there is a pandemic outbreak or there is a disaster. We learned from the hurricanes years ago that we really needed to have a very strong coalition in place. So here are some student health services. We have 136,000 medication visits, and we have a year and 529,000 non-medication visits. So every year, we have around between middle 660,000 last year it was, but it's around the same every single year. And that doesn't sound very much when you say it so fast, but it really is a tremendous amount of assessment, planning, implementation, evaluation, case management by the nurses. A lot of preventive hearing services, and you can see what those are there. And now to the influenza season of last year, we know that in April, CDC confirmed probable case of a novel H1N1 virus. The children were leaving school, so over the summer, we knew in the community there was more influenza. When the children came back to school, we found out that a lot of children were sick, and so then we had to put our plan in action. We had to set up isolation areas within the schools and really treat it like it was, definitely a pandemic. The populations, of course, across the nation that were disproportionately affected were children, 3.8 cases per 100,000. Pregnant women, of course, were very susceptible. And the elderly were less at risk, which is real interesting. And we needed evaluation sites in Palm Beach County. So in terms of prevention and intervention, we work with our collaborative partners to pull all this together. No one can do it alone. We work with the public, the health department, the school district, and following CDC guidelines and following the memos that came out from CDC, we structured a program. Not only did we structure the program for treating the children that were sick, but we also did the flu mist program, and the intervention was the intranasal flu mist, which we'd helped already 2 years previously in providing intranasal flu mist to the school population. So it wasn't new. We were part of a pilot program with the manufacturers of flu mist before this. And then again this year we've been providing the intranasal flu mist. And of course, prevention is really essential. We provided 21,800 doses to eligible students. And then of course seasonal influenza to our own employees. We have a pharmacy, so our pharmacy distributed the following vaccines with 86,000 doses of H1N1, when you can see the recipient, 77,000 recipients. Flu mist, 27,000 doses with 19,400 recipients. And then we had 12,300 seasonal influenza doses and 12,000 recipients, which was very good. Of course, again, it was a community outreach. We do nothing without the private sector, so physicians and their offices provided this, the healthcare district staff and the county health department. I mentioned to you we have an electronic medical record system. I'll just finish this slide and then I'll pass it over to Dr. Rawara. The record provides us with the ability to take a look at what the acute and chronic conditions of the child are, to manage what their symptoms are. So when the flu season hit, we were able to say, well, we know this child has a risk factor, asthma, or some other respiratory condition. When they came in to see the nurse, if they had the flu-like symptoms, then of course you knew that there could be complications. Further complications. Dr. Rawara is going to show you the stats, but it started off really kind of low and then it really ballooned into a really, really big epidemic. And so I'm going to pass it over to him now, but we can change the electronic medical record system in any way we like, which we feel is a really, really good tool for monitoring student health and preparing for disasters.
But because of that electronic medical record, we were able to pull out that information of who of our students met that influenza-like illness case definition. We did not do any testing to verify diagnosis, so since we were in the midst of an outbreak, we used our clinical definition. And here's the types of things that we were especially asking nurses to ask about: fevers, headache, nasal congestion, cough, body aches, lack of appetite, diarrhea. And you remember, in many areas, the epidemic kind of started with more gastrointestinal kind of problem. And then there was, of course, guidance from the CDC to have students and staff stay away from school until 24 hours after the fever is resolved without aspirin or Advil or Tylenol. We provided information weekly to the health department and, of course, a lot of communication with everybody involved, making sure that the nurses were accurately recording those students that came in with influenza-like illness. And then, of course, providing that support to families. And for a lot of our students, the only provider they see is the school health nurse. You know, their family is not able to take them to the nurse at the, you know, Walgreens or the emergency room. So the fact that we were able to provide that service was very important. So first of all, here was our data in a bar graph. And as you can see, when school started, and this is using those CDC weeks for when the influenza season is, we started out with quite a few cases. Now, these are absolute numbers of cases. And by no means would that represent all the children that had influenza, because their parents may have taken them to their pediatrician. It might have been something that happened after hours or weekends, and they might have seen another provider in the community. So these are just the cases that our nurses diagnosed. And then this was the CDC curve, of course, for the epidemic for last year. So when you superimpose the two, you get something that looks like this. And we might have peaked maybe a week or two earlier before the rest of the country, but you know, we had a significant influenza-like illness very early in the school year. And of course, that makes it kind of hard for doing the educational piece when you got so much going on there. Now, one thing we always like to do when we look at those numbers, we have you know, over 5,000 of those visits that came in were for influenza-like illness. So we like to put some direct and indirect costs on it, because we, as you see, have a large program with lots of structure, but we don't have a lot of funders, and we rely on the taxpayers of the county to fund the majority of the program. So, you know, the direct costs, you can go directly to Walgreens and pay $50 to see the nurse practitioner there. And if you just did a bust out retail price for it, you got over $250,000 of services provided by those nurses just for that. But probably the indirect costs are a lot harder to figure, because, you know, parents are not having to take time off work to take children to school. That's hard to put up. a number on. But one thing you can put a number on is when a secretary or an assistant or an assistant principal has to take care of the child while they call and find the parent. Parent has to come in and pick up the kid. So we just used a half hour of a secretary's time to put a number on what those indirect savings costs were. And that was like $58,000. And that would be school board dollars. The school district would be paying for that. So we'll kind of quit there, and you know, but we won't continue with these slides. But by having the nurses perform this function and giving advice to parents, we were able to save a lot of dollars to the community in services. Thank you.
Thank you.